Zadie Smith astutely observes that individual citizens are internally plural. They have within them the full range of behavioral possibilities. She says people are like complex musical scores from which certain melodies can be teased out and others ignored or suppressed, depending at least in part on who is doing the conducting. In our modern context, with our struggles between optimism and despair, Ms. Smith implores us to play a finer music and to encourage others to sing along. On Martin Luther King Sunday, let's talk about staying optimistic and playing a finer music in the living of our lives. On this day, we celebrate a spiritual giant who led us to embrace love over hate and courage over fear. On this day, we revere the preacher from Atlanta who knew he might not get there with us, but nonetheless, we as a people will get to the promised land. In his honor and legacy, let's talk about how the full range of our citizenry can make music together. On MLK Sunday, let's be honest and state that right now we are going through bumpy storms in our country, including racial tensions and misogyny. The fog of ignorance and despair creates realities and illusions of painful divisions amongst our people in ways few feel capable of navigating. Right now, many of us who care deeply about civil liberties and civil rights are feeling down and discouraged. Right now, many of us concerned about people on the margins and in more vulnerable positions in society are feeling down and discouraged. And it's okay to feel down and discouraged. It's appropriate. And we have to prepare to rise up again with love and hope. We have to be rising again. Today we hear Dr. King's voice calling us to get back up and participate in the societal orchestra, doing our part to play melodies of peace. The man with the drum major's instinct calls us to play harmonies of justice. Playing music together, we have opportunities to learn from our mistakes. Is that true, choir? We are still fresh from an election in which many of us, including myself, misunderstood the songs which our fellow citizens were singing. We heard the anger, and in some cases the hatred, but too often we missed the hurt that fueled those emotions. Something hurts inside many Americans, including ourselves here, but we have incorrectly analyzed the pain experienced by folks from different perspectives. Last week in Chicago, Connie and I heard past UUA President William Singford highlight groups which UUs may not always think about first and foremost. For example, suicide rates are up in the military. Drug addiction is on the rise in police forces. and depression is up in the upper middle class. People are hurting, and that pain flows into the songs they sing. In order to better listen to each other, we have to maintain spaces where people have essential freedoms to express their true selves. This is not only an American challenge, this is a global challenge. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has worked for years to secure civil liberties and healthy, inclusive economies. Currently, Chancellor Merkel is under intense political pressure, including pushback for having allowed 890,000 asylum seekers into Germany last year. In that context, Ms. Merkel is making what I see as a mistake in leadership. She's advocating for the German government to ban full face veils, which are worn by Muslim women. Explaining her position last month, Ms. Merkel said of Germany, "With interpersonal communication, we show our face. This is why the full facial veil is inappropriate and should be banned where it is legally possible. It does not belong in our country." You may understandably wonder why I am speaking on German policy matters in our Sunday service. There's a number of reasons. There are a number of reasons. First, President-elect Trump has advocated a ban on Muslim immigrants coming to America, so it's certainly feasible he could work to ban face veils. We should oppose any potential bans. We have many Muslim neighbors within a few miles of our church who deserve our support. Many women in our neighborhoods wear face veils and should have the right to do so. The position of banning religious garb impedes the development of a healthy, thriving society. Freedom of religious expression is essential for the human being. In discussing this topic with caring, smart people, I hear a couple primary concerns. The first says that people covering their faces compromise public security. So I believe that concern could be effectively addressed in such situations as airport security, by deciding if anyone can have something over their face, including if it's a cold day, can you have a scarf over your face if you're coming in out of the cold? Second, and this one may be more present in our community, people are concerned that wearing the face veil impedes women from being treated with respect and decency. Many people, including myself, have concerns that some Muslim traditions lead women to second-class citizenship and related neglect or abuse. Whatever one's opinions on these matters, we must allow Muslim people to resolve these questions on their own accord. Solidifying this point, various articulate Muslim women say the face veil actually empowers them. They say that the face veil protects them from being sexually objectified and empowers them to be a fully functioning adult in society. And of course, there are limits to religious freedom. If one religious group declares their holy text instructs them to beat women, that would be unacceptable. That would violate international human rights. But I don't think the face veil is in anywhere near that category. Our faith teaches the freedom of the soul plays an essential role in charting the best course for humanity. Speaking truth to power in public, Dr. King cherished not living in totalitarian societies like China or Russia. In the last speech of his life, the night before his murder, King stood in Memphis with garbage workers who were prohibited by a court injunction from engaging in a protest march. That night, King said, "All we are saying to America is, be true to what you said on paper." Somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of the press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the freedom to protest for rights. Just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or hoses turn us around, we are not going to let any injunction against protesting turn us around. When the winds of discord gust strongly, we must stand firmly for basic societal freedoms. Thankfully, we can express any concerns we may have about President-elect Trump's proposed policies and cabinet appointments. This week, I spoke at a press conference at the National Constitution Center opposing the nomination of U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions for U.S. Attorney General. Senator Sessions has too often opposed civil and voting rights. He should not be the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. Next Sunday, many of us are getting on from here, getting on two busloads, leaving the church, where we'll join hundreds of thousands of people coming in from around the country, probably from around the world, in Washington, where we will do public witness for justice. You cannot do these things in North Korea. You cannot. Probably not in Russia or China right now either. We have to protect our precious national commodities of freedom of speech and religion at all costs, and not just for folks who agree with us. Right here in our church community, it's been an interesting 4 or 6 months here. Over the last time, we've had a lot of freedom of expression that's been important. In our Black Lives Matter panel in October, some leaders from the wider community spoke for an abolition of police and the Constitution, declaring both as inherently racist. On another day after worship, someone stood on the public sidewalk in front of the church talking against people who support GLBT rights and reproductive freedom. Wow. Even when we disagree with opinions, we must protect the freedom of religion and speech. Of course, you do not have to agree with my opinion on the veil, and you could say so publicly, and thank heavens we can all do that. Thank heavens. Right now, we must remember that we should not oppose something somebody says simply because he or she says it. I'm going to repeat that sentence. We should not oppose something somebody says simply because it is he or she who says it. That would be against the first principle of our faith. Many of us, I was on my last nerve so many times, highly frustrated with large numbers of people seem to oppose anything Barack Obama ever said simply because it came from him. Would have agreed with a million things if it came from somebody else. Mitch McConnell said it would have been great. Let's not do the same with Trump. We are better than that. Okay, I'm trying hard, people. Ask my wife. She's a witness. And I'm agreeing with things that Trump says when I agree. I agree when Trump says he'll fight to bring down ridiculous costs on certain contracts between the government and the U.S. military. I agree. I don't know how he's going to do it. That is what I'm waiting to hear. But I agree when Mr. Trump says he wants to encourage U.S. companies to sustain good jobs for people in the U.S. This is your pastor talking. If you protest everything Trump says, or anybody else for that matter, simply because he or she says it, you will lose credibility as a person eventually. We're better than that. So we're going to help each other on that one. Important spiritual principles are worth practicing at the macro level as well as at the personal level. Dr. King always combined prophetic and pastoral. In our personal lives, this holds true. Life becomes empty and dry when you only make music with people who play the same songs you play. And this is not just religion and politics. Right now, we have to work hard to talk with people with whom we disagree. I encourage you to consider that a spiritual practice right now. My cousin Eric is an ex-Marine who lives in Indianapolis. Eric and I love each other massively, and we disagree about a lot of important stuff. And we talk about our thoughts and feelings. Sometimes the rest of the family has to clear out of the room we're in. And Eric's a big boy. But Eric and I, time and time again, learn from each other. We learn we're internally pluralistic. He's not just a red guy from Indianapolis and me a blue guy from Philly. We're nuanced and have a lot of different points, and we would lay down on the train tracks for each other, even though we disagree about a lot of stuff. These principles of allowing people to speak their minds and engage in their sacred practices, even when you disagree, hold value amongst our church, our families, our marriages. We already learned this in our marriages, right? Friendships, neighbors, co-workers, and on. Just like playing music, living life comes from feelings and thoughts. And we often do not get the best results by telling people what they have to play, let alone think or feel. In the coming months and years, I commit more than ever to keep talking about my best thoughts and feelings, articulate them the best I can, and I commit to listening to the thoughts and feelings of others. What about you? Thank goodness we can rise again for what we know to be good and true. Thank goodness we can play music and dance together freely. Blessings be. Amen.